Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You are still out there in the outer court. The veil is not rent for you. You feel like you have to be worthy, and if you aren't, you're going to be killed, or at very least, not receive your blessing, not receive your answer to prayer, and you aren't entering in by the blood of Jesus into the holy place. You aren't acting like a New Testament Christian. You're acting like an Old Testament saint who had to constantly make atonements over and over because they were only types and shadows. They couldn't ever really cleanse you. And so the types and shadows had to be done over and over. But in the new covenant, your one offering has perfected you forever. Hebrews 10:14. And the veil is gone. And now we have direct access to God. If an angel came up to me and says, you aren't worthy, I could rebuke him in the name of Jesus and command him to get out of my way, because nothing can separate me from the love of God. My sin can't separate me from the love of God. And I know that this is a new wrinkle in some of y'all's brains. Because most of us think, oh no, my sin does separate me. Matter of fact, we've got a new commercials coming out that I just saw today on the internet. And they're making a commercial where Larry Hodge, who was, I saw him in here a minute ago. He's our director of pastoral relations. He's up there preaching. And he's got a diagram that shows repentance leads to heaven. Sin leads to hell, and he's just preaching hellfire and damnation. And he says, now, are there any questions? And this woman who works in our TV department, Karen Bean, says, what if a Christian dies with an unconfessed sin? And Larry just goes, you go directly to, and it cuts off, and it shows Karen just going, and then I come on and say, most people are preaching hellfire and damnation, but God's not mad at you. And I go to preaching the gospel and we say, listen in to the gospel truth. Amen. But you know, that's exactly what most people are used to. They think that if you sin, that man, sin's got to be judged. I grew up in this church. I actually spent most of my time in a kind of a mellow Baptist church. But then when I got turned on to the Lord, I went into a fanatical Baptist church that the pastor used to jump up on this part of the platform and stand here and bend over and grab the mic like this and scream and yell, and he'd lose anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds every time he preached. Sweat would come out of his shoes. And one of his favorite things was to say, sin's got to be judged. Sin's got to be judged. If you don't confess it and repent of it, God's going to punish you. God's going to put you in the hospital. God's going to take something from you. God's going to strike your child dead. You better repent or sin's got to be judged. What he's missing was that sin was judged in the flesh of Jesus. God isn't judging you for your sin. He punished his own son. And he punished his son so much that there is nothing you can do to add to it. Some people think, well, yes, I know that Jesus had to die for my sin, but I've also got to suffer some for it. I couldn't just sin and then waltz right into the presence of God. You just put the veil back. You just made a separation. And you just said that, no, you've got to go back through another sacrifice. No, the veil was rent once from the top to the bottom. It can't be repaired. It was rent once. And even though you sinned, did you know you can go boldly into the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need, not in the time of prosperity when you've done everything perfect. In the time of need, when you've messed up, you can still go boldly into the very presence of God. And I know that there's some of you in here that probably all the hair on the back of your neck standing up like fear, like, oh, how could you say such a thing? Because this is so contrary to religion. But again, this is what Hebrews 10:19 says. Let us therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter into the holies. If you just understood that one verse, We can enter now into the Holy of Holies. There's no longer a separation. God has removed the veil. Jesus spilt His blood, died. The veil has been split. And the thing that separated man from God was sin. Jesus became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He became sin, who knew no sin. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Jesus didn't just take a tiny bit of sin. He didn't just taste a little bit of sin. Jesus became sin. And God poured out His wrath on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that you and I deserved, God made Jesus suffer that for us. Did you know in the Old Covenant, again, all of these things were types and shadows of New Testament realities. When they brought a lamb to be offered as sacrifice for sin, the priest had to examine the lamb and make sure it was perfect. There couldn't be any blemish. There couldn't be a spot. It had to be a perfect lamb because it typified Jesus. You remember John the Baptist when Jesus came on the scene, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." All of those Old Testament sacrifices were symbolic of Jesus dying for our sins. It says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, that all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was as a lamb before His shearers is dumb, so that Jesus opened not His mouth, and He was sacrificed. So Jesus was the lamb. And how did they do it in the Old Testament? When they brought the lamb before the priest, the priest didn't examine the person that brought the lamb. He didn't say, "Have you been fasting? Have you been praying? Did you study the Word? Have you been treating your wife right? Have you lived holy? Have you gone to synagogue? Have you done everything?" They didn't examine the person. They examined the sacrifice. The sacrifice is what had to be holy and pure, not the person offering it. The very fact that you were bringing a sacrifice was an indication that you were unholy. And yet the church today is basically saying, "You've got to be holy." I'm saying that holiness had to exist, and it was Jesus. Jesus was holy for us, and He suffered for us, and God is looking at the sacrifice that was made for us and not the person who received the sacrifice. You have been sanctified and perfected through Jesus forever. And the whole mindset that is pointing towards you, and unless you get this sin out of your life, and until you do this, and until you do this, God won't answer your prayer, God won't bless you, God won't use you if you aren't holy, that's silly. If that was true, nobody would be used. God's never had anybody qualified working for Him yet, and I can guarantee you, you aren't going to be the first one. And some people say, "Wow, I'm not perfect, but at least I don't dip or cuss or chew or go with those that do, praise God. I live a certain standard of holy life." You know what? The moment you start saying, "Well, you got to have a partial holiness," or is the moment you start putting yourself into there, you aren't entering by the blood of Jesus, but you are entering based on your own goodness. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 10, that if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of everything. That means that if you have never said a word of profanity, if you've never taken a drink of liquor, if you've never smoked a cigarette, that's my testimony. Never smoked a cigarette, never said a word of profanity. I just turned 59 years old, never used profanity. Never drank liquor. I've never even tasted coffee. It's true. Some of you think I'm kidding, but I've never tasted coffee. Some of you are thinking, "Coffee? Are you saying that coffee and booze are the same thing?" Nope. You got a scripture to stand on for drinking coffee. Mark 16, 18 says you can drink any deadly thing and it shall not harm you. Amen. I'm just saying, I've lived a holy life. But you know what? If I keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, if I don't love my wife perfectly as Christ loves the church, if I don't love other people more than I love myself, according to Philippians chapter 2. If I don't pray without ceasing, if I, you know, just on and on you could go. All of us have missed it. If I miss in the slightest thing, I become guilty of adultery, murder, lying, stealing. It's just like the law. It was like one huge glass. If I had a huge glass separating you and me, it wouldn't matter if you shoot a bullet through it and make a small hole, or if you drive a truck through it and make a big hole. If you break it, the whole thing has to be replaced. God's law may have had 10,000 commands, but there was all one law. And if you broke the slightest one, then you were guilty of all. James 2:10. If you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you become guilty of all. So those of you who think, well, I know that you know, none of us can approach God based only on our goodness, but it has to be Jesus plus our goodness. Nope. If you've sinned at all, then you better put your total faith in that lamb that was sacrificed for you and not in yourself. Amen. And brothers and sisters, most of us have been putting our faith in ourselves, and that's the reason we don't have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, because we have been self-righteous. And it's been encouraged by religion. You know, we have people come forward for prayer. We have prayer lines. And I have heard this 1,000 times if I've heard it once. Somebody says something like, why aren't I healed? I fast, I pay my tithes, I go to church, I pray, I'm living holy, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do. And why hadn't God healed me? You just told me why God hadn't healed you. Because, see, you didn't point to what He did for you. You pointed to what you have been doing for Him. And that reveals where your faith is. Your faith was in you. And you're doing as much as you can. And so why hasn't God healed you yet? Because you're wanting what you deserve. And it's the mercy and grace of God that you haven't heard from God.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-152 titled Enter Boldly when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth Seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith, and we have Bible college students and people there praying, and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place, and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth Seminars.